ran up on the hill about 12 o'clock. Reached right back and got me a poke. Went to the hard one, got me a hook. Placed that line right on that hook. Said, you've been fishing all the time. I'm a-going to fish you too. I bet your life, your loving wife, catch more fish than you. Any fish bite, got good bait. Here's a little something I've let you lay. Any fish bite, got good bait. I'm a-going to fish you. Yes, I'm going to fish you. I'm a-going to fish you too.
This is the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever it is to all you fisher people. Welcome to this week's episode of Why Fish Radio. Why Fish Radio is brought to you by Cats on the Red of Lockport, Manitoba. Check them out on the net at catsonthered.net. Rumor going around is the Lockport greenback walleyes are just starting to move in, and October's right around the corner, so there should be some pretty good fishing, and the flows are high. Brad, I know you've been up there and done this. How you doing, and what do you think of the greenback walleyes?
Well, I tell you, just to hear that word that they're showing up in the river, that's good news. What we need now is just a nice little cold snap. It's kind of a mixed blessing. If you're a catfish fisherman, you kind of want the warm water to hang around a little bit longer. There's been a lot of big catfish caught. You know, the bite's been pretty good. But inevitably, fall is going to get here. And, in order for those greenbacks to start coming in from Lake Winnipeg, you need to have some colder water. And it's just starting to happen. Heard a story of a young boy that released a 31-inch walleye yesterday or the day before, and I mean, just hearing about that kind of thing, it makes you kind of wish for fall. And it's an incredible run when that walleye bite is going on up there. And those fish are called greenbacks for a reason. They have a coloring on them like no other I've ever seen. And you really do have a shot at catching a really big fish, and it's just a lot of fun.
Well, they're going to be moving in, so give Stu and the boys a call. Check them out on the net, catsonthered.net. Anyway, this week's show, we're going to talk about a couple of issues. One being there's a movement here in the Grand Forks area and some support up and down the Red River Valley to start lobbying the public officials and the DNR and the North Dakota Game and Fish to look into taking the one catfish over 24-inch slot limit, I guess you could call it, and making it no catfish over 24 inches, with a few exceptions on some open season and things. And I think this is a good one. Also in this show, we're going to talk a little bit about reporting poachers and people who are double dipping, taking more fish than they're supposed to, and also keeping bigger fish than they're supposed to where there is a slot limit. You know, two very important subjects. And Brad, I know we've had some experience in that one, but we're going to come back to that. What do you think of this proposed catfish law?
Well, I think it's an idea whose time has come. There's been a fair bit of discussion about this issue over the years. The Red River being, a pretty quality destination for big catfish. But it seems like most of the attention as far as, the ability to grow big fish has, kind of centered on the Manitoba side of the river. And with good reason. I mean, you've got a bigger river up there. You've got a pretty formidable barrier in the St. Andrews Lock and Dam up there in Lockport, which will prevent a lot of fish most years from getting upstream. And then, of course, you've got, huge Lake Winnipeg downstream. So, I mean, all the ingredients are there for growing big fish. And, I get the argument in the past has been that, we don't really have that kind of an ecosystem here, the ability to grow those big fish. But for whatever reason, they're here right now. And, there are some people that are taking advantage of that and, unfortunately keeping some of those big fish. And I guess personally, I hate to see people keeping fish that size. A, there's no reason to, and B, it's really cutting into an opportunity for the future.
Well, that's exactly it, is it's cutting into an opportunity for the future. It takes about 20 years for a catfish in this cold water region to reach 20 pounds. And God knows we've seen a lot of 20-pounders this year. It just seems to make sense to protect those, not only for the tourism and for the folks who make money on the river, but just for the general, I want to go catch a big fish crowd and just enjoy the pure fight and excitement of it.
Well, and we've talked about this many times over the past few shows. I mean, what a cool thing we've had going on here. It, you know, it's been great, especially with gas hovering at, you know, $2.50 to $3 a gallon. You know, not to have to make long distance runs to catch big fish. We can do it right here in town. We're real lucky that way. And, you know, call it selfish if you will, but I'd just as soon be able to keep doing that.
Well, that's exactly it. And I found one reason to keep a big catfish today. I was speaking with a local taxidermist who said, I'm in so much support of this that I've actually had to go against my values and keep a few of these big fish to make the molds so you can have replica molds made when you catch the big ones so they can always go back from here on out. And he said, it really hurt to kill the fish, but in the long run, I believe that's going to be better for everybody.
Well, and it really takes away that excuse that, well, I had to kill that fish because I wanted to mount it. There's no better way to remember a big fish than to have a graphite replica made. I firmly believe that. I did it myself with a muskie here a couple of years ago. We've talked about that. I have it on my wall. It looks great. It's easy to maintain. And down the road, it's just going to hold up so much better than that live mount would. You know, just because of the nature of the materials, the workmanship on them is absolutely incredible. And, you know, to be able to do that with a catfish, you know, like you say, they're kind of in the ground floor of, you know, that effort as far as replicas on catfish. And to be able to do that in the long run, that's probably going to save a lot of fish. And again, takes away that excuse that I need to keep one.
Well, that's exactly it. So we're going to find some forgiveness in that one because we know that it's not going to happen on a regular basis from here on out. But we'll keep you updated on that one. Next Tuesday night, about the time we're usually cutting our show, is when there's actually a meeting of the Red River Hookers to decide the plan of action and the way we want to go with proposing this. So we'll get back to you and keep you updated on that. But another subject for tonight follows the same lines, and that's poaching. Keeping big fish that are too big, keeping too many fish, keeping too many fish that are too big. We've had a personal experience with this one, Brad, and it's been about a year now, and I still get great pleasure in thinking about it.
Absolutely. It was a fine September day. We're out on Devil's Lake catching some walleyes. In fact, surprisingly good fishing that day. We'd heard some reports, you know, from some locals that fishing had been tough. Seems to me we had to go over there, run a couple errands. You were just getting your cabin built at the time, and there were some issues that you needed to deal with on that front. So we didn't necessarily have high expectations as far as the fishing, but the walleyes treated us pretty well in the time we were out there. And you know, it seems to me we're just an hour or two into the morning and a yokel shows up in a little piece of junk boat and a motor that looked even better. And I remember saying to you, I said, you watch, this guy's going to be trouble. Sure enough, he started catching fish and it wasn't long before he had his five fish limit. And I actually heard him on the cell phone. I got my limit. And he headed into shore. And, you know, I was pretty sure he was going to be back out there again at some point that day. What I didn't expect is that he would be back out again 45 minutes later.
Well, that's just it. The guy rolls in. Clunk, you hear the fish hit the bottom of the bucket. Well, you know, you hate to be a jerk, but is it really being a jerk? So we wheeled off, and Brad made the call to the local Game and Fish, and somebody got a nice fine or a trip to court that day. We're not exactly sure which one.
Well, the last I heard is there was a fine of about $875 on the line, you know, just for keeping five more 15-inch walleyes than he should have kept. And being a jerk, absolutely not. It's not being a jerk. Being a jerk is keeping those fish. There's no reason for it. It's inexcusable. I'm sorry. I have no sympathy for that kind of thing at all. And as far as I'm concerned, somebody like that, if they're so dumb that they're going to walk, you know, not walk, but if they're going to come right out in plain view and keep a second limit of fish right in front of us, I'd do it all over again. And he got what he deserved as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's absolutely right. And that's the first time I've ever personally been put in that situation. And I feel good about the decision that we made on that particular day. But, you know, the thing about these people that keep these is it happens time and time and time again. This past summer, I spent a little more time than I had in the past on Devil's Lake, and it seemed like every Friday I saw the warden watching people for double dipping.
It's a common problem anywhere you've got very good fishing. And, of course, that's been the case, especially with walleyes on Devil's Lake this summer. And with good fishing, of course, you know, comes that temptation to keep a few extra fish. Oh, well, you know, they're never going to know. They're not going to find out. Well, They will find out, and, you know, that's where the public comes into play. Because, you know, face it, folks, the future of these kinds of fisheries depend on you stepping up to the plate and making sure other people aren't robbing from that resource. Because, you know, there's a limited supply of fish out there, even on a lake that size. There's only so many fish to go around. And, if, I mean, if everybody took that attitude, well, you know, I'm going to get what's mine, even if they don't get out fishing very often, I mean, that can have a real tremendous impact. And it's real important for folks to step up to the plate. You know, those wardens and, you know, in Minnesota, they call them conservation officers. They have a lot of territory to cover. It's a big job. It's, you know, incredible challenges, and they can't do it alone. And the public really is a key factor in helping them do their job and protecting what we've got.
Well, that's exactly it. If we want to keep the good fishing that we have, or for that matter, the good hunting that we have, not that we talk about that a lot on this show, if you see something going wrong like that, you've got to make the call. And time and time and time again this summer, we've been hearing the big fish on the Red River coming out, people keeping way more big fish. And I've heard some doozy stories, and I don't know if this is really the time to get into it or not, but there has been some pretty substantial busts on the big catfish. As we said earlier in the show, you're allowed to keep one over 24 inches per day, per person, but there was people keeping many, many, many more than that.
Well, of course, the most striking case there was an incident that happened up in Drayton here a couple of months back. Warden encountered three anglers from Nebraska, and each of them were allowed to have one catfish over 24 inches in their limit, and he caught them with, I believe it was 11. And, I mean, that's a pretty, just a nasty, ugly violation. And those were catfish that were up to about 38 inches. So, I mean, we're talking fish that are flirting 20 pounds if they're not well over. And I'm sorry, but it's really hard to plead ignorance with something like that. I mean, that's just gross disregard for the law. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, they got to spend the weekend in the county Hilton, and they deserved everything they got. No sympathy for me at all on that front.
Well, that's exactly it. And that's probably why we're looking to move that law the most. But I know you're looking up the number here to call for the North Dakota tips line or report all poachers. I can't remember which is which. It's different in every state. And why don't you tell our listeners at least what the North Dakota number is?
Well, I was hoping it would be on here. It used to be on the driver's licenses. I don't see it here anymore. The only thing it says here is for emergency assistance, dial 911. And might be a little bit extreme as far as, you know, calling in a fishing violation. You know, usually the 911 calls have more important things to worry about. But bottom line is you can play a real important role in maintaining quality of hunting and fishing. And I guess the best advice I would give would be wherever you're fishing or hunting for that matter, go on the website, check out the regulations booklet of that particular state. In North Dakota, you could go to the Game and Fish Department's website, which is www.discovernd.com/GNF. And in Minnesota, go to www.dnr.state.mn.us. And Minnesota's got what's called turn-in poachers, or TIP. North Dakota's is called Report All Poachers, also known as RAP. And those two websites would have those numbers. Really should have them written down. Keep them handy, because if you see a violation, you can make a big difference in making sure that it doesn't happen again, or that it's not even worse.
You know what? Before we put this up on the website, I'm going to look those numbers up so I can put them up when I post the show. So they will be on the website. If you haven't already read it in the blog, it will be there for you. I think that's going to do it for us this week. Hopefully next week we'll have some updates on the Red River Hookers meeting. But until then, Brad, we'll have a good week. And I know we've got a little trip planned, but we'll tell you about that all next week.
Absolutely. I'm finally going to get out on Devil's Lake in open water with a fishing rod in my hand. I've had a chance to get out on the water, you know, in the name of work and not being able to fish, but I'm looking forward to getting out and hopefully tying into a few walleyes in the process. So I guess for now, that, you know, concludes this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. Until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
You have been listening to the Why Fish Radio podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad. For more information, log on to our website at why-fish.com.